Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. This week, I want to talk to you guys about how and why we have paid cash for our vehicles over the past few years. And I want to go into some of the questions that you guys had on this topic, because it's another topic that I get a lot of questions about, and it's just so much easier to answer them in a podcast versus, you know, tons of emails of typing the exact same thing. So I'm going to answer some of these questions the best I can. And like always, you guys, if you have any further questions, feel free to hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, specifically in the post for this episode. That's a great place to make sure that I see your questions, your comments, your takeaways, things like that. So be commenting in those posts if you have any further questions on this topic. And I'm really excited to dig into this because this is something that I haven't really talked about a lot in detail. But I share the fact that we have cash flowed both of our vehicles, my Suburban, my husband's truck, as well as our family's boat and our camper recently, actually just this past fall. And it's something that I share that we've done, but I don't go into a lot of details I haven't really gone into a lot of details about the process and kind of the mindset behind it. So not intentionally, I just kind of have realized since I've been getting a lot of these questions lately that I haven't really explained it that well. So this is me explaining it. So one of the questions that I got was just basically like, do you mind elaborating on your process a little bit? So maybe I can wrap my mind around this in a better way. And I think that when we use the term cash flow, it's kind of like, what exactly does that mean? And the process of paying 100% cash for such big purchases is just, I feel like, so out of the norm that I guess the thought process is kind of made more complicated than it actually is. So basically, yeah, we save up the money and we have paid 100% cash for all four of these items. And that is the first thing that we bought was my Suburban, and it's a 2007. And this will be, let's see, we've almost had it for 3 years. So you can do the math on how old it was. A little bit older vehicle. It's nearing 200,000 miles now, but like I said, that's after 3 years of owning it. I cannot remember what it was when we bought it, but it was well over 100,000 miles, obviously. And we paid $13,300, I believe, because the joke is that my budget was $13,000. Well, my original budget was $10,000. Daniel's budget was $15,000, and we compromised at $13,000. And then he negotiated, which we'll get into that in a minute about how negotiation and all that works. But he negotiated with the sellers and ended up at $13,300 with tax, title, license, everything, like out the door. And so we joke all the time about how he went over my budget by $300. And then we bought our boat next, and we paid, the number is escaping my mind, $5,000 something, a little over $5,000 for it. And we bought it from an individual. The Suburban we bought from a small dealership. The boat we bought from an individual. And then after that, we bought Daniel's truck about a year ago. And we bought it from a pretty large dealership. And it was $25,000 something. I should have written these numbers down. And then our camper we bought just this past fall, like I said, back in October, and we bought it from an individual, and it was almost 7,000, I believe. Goodness, these numbers are like escaping me, but you guys get the idea. So yes, these were really large purchases, but again, like we aren't buying brand new, you know, vehicles or pieces of equipment. Like we aren't buying $30,000 campers and $50,000 trucks, right? We're buying things that are within our means. Okay. So I'm going to talk about that in more in a little bit. But yeah, we actually save up. We've paid 100% cash for all four of these items, either physical cash or a cashier's check. With the boat and the Suburban, we did pay physical cash. Like Daniel went to the bank and withdrew stacks of $100 bills. And you know, the boat was fine because it was only like nearly $6,000. The Suburban was a little overwhelming with that much cash because it was $13,000. And him and my sister went, it was like an hour and a half drive away where they found it. I stayed home with the kids. And he had to count out $13,300 in $100 bills. And my sister was talking about it later, how awkward it was to sit there. It was like a really quiet, small dealership, little office. And all you could hear was the echo of Daniel, like counting out $13,000 in $100 bills. And that was kind of a lot. And he was a little nervous, like traveling with that much money, even though it was only an hour and a half, like it wasn't that far away. But after that, we decided we're gonna try to do this with cashier's checks if we can. But I think it was those first two purchases of we wanted to prove that we could pay in legit cash. You know, it was just something like it was a kind of a personal goal of ours, kind of a personal achievement, I feel like, more than anything. But with the truck and the camper, we actually did do cashier's checks. And the way that worked with the truck, we bank with Regions, which is a pretty big bank. And I feel like it's probably easier if you bank with a large bank, because what we did with the truck and the camper, the truck was near Houston somewhere. So that was, it's like 2 hours away from where we are. And what we did was we researched the truck. We you know, Googled the address and all of that. And then we did a quick Google search for a Regions bank near the dealership. And it was a pretty reasonable drive, a few minutes away. And so Daniel went, he negotiated the price exactly. We traded in our old truck, even though we could have done, you know, we could have sold it, like done a private sale and took that money and then, you know, used it towards the new truck. And we probably would have got a little bit more money. But with Daniel's work schedule, you know, he's gone for so long. We didn't want to post it for sale on Craigslist or something and then have to deal with people coming to test drive. And then when he was at work, it would be parked at the airport and then people wouldn't be able to test drive it. And that just seemed like a lot of stress for maybe a few hundred dollars more in a sale price. And it was so old and so many miles on it. We really didn't get that much for the trade-in anyway. But anyway, so he traded in the truck. The rest that above the trade-in, he negotiated the price and everything, and then told the guy, okay, I'm going to go to my bank. I'm going to get a cashier's check. He got the exact number amount that he needed the cashier's check in. He said, I'll be right back. You know, the guy was obviously understanding of that he needed to go get a cashier's check. He went and got it, came back, drove home with the truck. It was not that long of a process at all. And kind of the same thing with the camper, except the camper was from an individual, it was from a couple. And it was parked at a storage unit, which was also near Houston, a couple hours away. And we did kind of the same thing. It was in a different part of Houston, though. But we basically did the same thing. We showed up to the storage unit. We looked at it. We walked through it. We, you know, gave it the good walk around and we looked through it and everything. And we decided, yeah, we want it. We kind of talked about it privately and we kind of were like, all right, we like it? What are we willing to pay? And then Daniel spoke to the man we were buying it from. They agreed on a price. And in this case, Daniel actually got in the truck with the guy that we were buying it from. They drove to the nearest Regions Bank together, and I sat with the girls in our truck in the storage unit area where the camper was parked. And they drove a couple minutes down the road, got the cashier's check, came back. We did a little bill of sale. We drove home with the camper. It was really, really easy. A couple hours, you know. And I think that, you know, we've obviously bought vehicles before. We've obviously financed vehicles, a couple of vehicles throughout our lives. And when we bought our old truck, we bought it brand new. I think it had like 12 or 13 miles on it. It was way, way above our means. We traded in Daniel's truck before that one. We had an 06 truck, and then he traded it in for his 08 truck, and it was a negative trade-in. It was a bad deal all around. We just wanted a brand new truck, basically. We didn't care what it cost. We didn't care that we had a negative trade-in, you know, all of this. And the process with buying that truck and financing it was sickening. I mean, literally, like, we talk about it all the time. We still recall it, that it literally felt like we were sitting in that dealership's office getting that paperwork done, getting approved for financing, and someone was just repeatedly punching us in the stomach because we knew deep down that we couldn't afford that truck. And our payment, you guys, I try to be transparent with you guys. Our payment on this 08 truck, this was before we were even married. This truck was 100% in Daniel's name, but we were living together. We were sharing money. Anyway, but it was over $800 a month. So let that sink in for a little bit. That was an insane amount of money. We financed it for, like 5 years, I feel like. It was a really long time. I used to round the payments up to $900. That's how much the payments were. And by doing that, we only paid it off like 2 months early. So, yeah. And every month, this truck was a burden. Like, we loved it and it was beautiful. And obviously, we put all of the miles on it, and it carried us through having all three of our kids. You know, it carried us through like our wedding and all the life. But it was a burden. And even after it was paid off, it was a reminder of just us trying to live above our means, trying to do things that we really couldn't afford to do. And so the process of buying that truck brand new, sitting in that financing office of the dealership, begging them for a loan, you guys, and if you've ever done this, you know that feeling that I'm talking about. You're at their mercy. You know, you're begging them for a good interest rate. You're trying to get approved. They're shopping different banks for you, trying to help you get approved. You're negotiating on the price so you can get the monthly payment to something you can afford, not even considering what the total price of the vehicle is, because we definitely weren't. We were just thinking, what is the monthly price going to be? And begging them for a loan and feeling like you're getting punched in the stomach, waking up the next day with buyer's remorse, waking up 4 years later with buyer's remorse because you're still paying for the stupid thing, right? It's the complete opposite when you are cash flowing a vehicle. You walk in there, you have cash in your hand or a cashier's check, or you know that the money is in your bank and you're about to go get a cashier's check. The power is in your hands. You're not at their mercy. You're not begging them for a loan. You're not waiting there for them to shop around for financing. The ball is in your court when you walk in. You know, you don't need anything. You're there because you want a vehicle. And it's just, it sets the tone. Everything is so different. it's so much more empowering when you know that, look, you are the one in control of the situation, right? Not the dealership, not the sales guy, whatever. So another question that I get a lot is, did it take you years to save up for each one? And obviously, like I just told you, you know, that we cash flowed all four of these, and our total journey of since the first time we added up our debt has only been about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago. So obviously it didn't take multiple years to save up for these. It didn't really take that long at all. Obviously, you know, they were different amounts of money, and so they took different times and everything, different amounts of time. But the thing is that now that we are debt free, and even when we bought the Suburban and the boat, we were debt free except for our house, which was for sale. And we weren't paying extra on our house because we knew that we weren't going to get that return when we sold it. So we were just saving all of our extra money at that point until our house sold. So we were debt free except for the mortgage at that point when we cash flowed the Suburban and the boat. Then we were 100% debt free when we cash flowed the truck and the camper. So, you know, living debt free, we're living on 55 to 60% of our income. We're striving to get it to 50%, but it's like we keep going back up closer to 55 or 60% of our income. And we live on about half of our income basically, and the rest goes to savings. So we're able to stack up some money pretty quickly like this. And I think that it's the discipline and it's the years of working towards getting debt free. You know, obviously this isn't going to happen overnight, but once you do get debt free and you continue to live that much below your means, it doesn't take that long. Right. And I think that it's the fact that we get this stuck in our head that, you know, if we make $60,000 a year, we have to spend $60,000 a year. But I feel like if you just get it in your head in the first place that we're going to live on half of our income, maybe you can't right now, but if that's your goal and you just decide anything over 50% of our income or anything over 60% of our income is living above our means. That's it. Like you set that tone, you set that level for your cost of living, and you live below your means. And it doesn't take that long to save up to buy these big purchases when you are living that far below your means, right? And I kind of feel like if it takes several years to buy a vehicle, then I think that you're spending too much of your income on something that is actually a toy. It's a vehicle is not an investment because obviously it's going to go down in value every single month, every single year, you know? So yeah, there is a little bit of an asset there where you could turn around and resell it if you needed to. But we kind of view our vehicles as toys, as luxury items. They're not really an investment. You don't make an investment in a vehicle or a boat or a camper or something like that. It's a really expensive toy, more or less. And I feel like, you know, if it's taking you years to buy a vehicle, then you're buying something that's way out of your means in the first place. So if you make $60,000 a year and you're trying to buy a $60,000 vehicle, you have to think in the sense that you're spending an entire year of your life just for that vehicle. And I feel like that's way above your means. And I'm not really one to preach, you know, specific percentages. Like I've seen charts where there are certain budgeting people who will suggest, you know, this percentage of your income should go to your home, this percentage should go to your groceries, this percentage should go to your vehicle, whatever. I don't really preach specific percentages because I feel like to each his own. And some people live in higher cost of living, you know, areas. Some people have different priorities, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like if you're spending years to save up to buy a vehicle, that you're spending way above your means. And I think that as a society, we have really exaggerated what we deserve in our luxury items and what we really need in our luxury items. And I feel like, you know, like you see high school kids and college kids getting into $30,000, $40,000 car loans, and that's insane, you know? That's just, that doesn't need to be our norm. And I feel like being brave enough and being bold enough to go against the grain and to say, yeah, so what? I drive an older vehicle, but I paid cash for it, you know? That's probably a topic for a whole nother episode. But another question that I get is, how do you decide how much to spend? So like I said, I don't really preach specific percentages. But when you pay cash versus getting a loan, I feel like in our experience, at least, you tend to spend so much less on the total price of the vehicle because your pain factor is so much higher. So you're more likely to buy a $20,000 car when you're paying cash versus financing a $40,000 car because all you're looking at is the nice small monthly payment, right? When you're paying the total price from the get-go, that pain factor is so much higher. So if you're paying cash, you're much more likely to buy a $20,000 car versus just financing a $40,000 car, if that makes sense, right? So I think that what you do is you take into account how long it's going to take you to save up this money in the first place. And you kind of, you know, put that on your timeline, like, okay, it's going to take us a year to save up for a vehicle. Do we feel comfortable spending that much of our money on something that's basically not an investment? It's just a luxury toy. And we know that we don't want to spend that much money on our vehicles. We don't want too much of our net worth tied up in something that, you know, we could get into an accident and it could be totaled in a matter of seconds. And we don't want basically our entire net worth tied up in something that disposable. It just, you know, it really changes your perspective on everything when you think of it like that. And like I said, you know, we don't really go on specific percentages of our net worth that we want tied up in our vehicles, but we just kind of go on more of what feels right, what we can save up in a reasonable amount of time, and what is something that will get us that happy balance of, it's reliable, it looks nice, but it's not going to leave us with that buyer's remorse like we paid too much. And it's not going to take us several years worth of our salary, worth of our net worth or something like that, just on something to drive. That doesn't really make sense. But obviously, we want something safe. We want something that we can be proud of, especially at this point in our journey. You know, when we were first starting and we were buried in, you know, almost $500,000 worth of debt, oh, well, who cares what we drive, right? But I feel like when you're 4 or 5 years into your journey, when you are debt free, you can have something that you're proud of, but something that is also not your entire life savings, like that happy medium, right? And we do buy older vehicles. You know, I told you guys at the beginning how much we paid for all of our vehicles, how old they are, and all of that. And we are kind of like stepping up our game. You know, like my Suburban was $13,000, Daniel's truck was $25,000. Hopefully when I upgrade my Suburban at some point in the future, it will be a little bit newer. It won't be something with 200,000 miles on it, because we're getting farther and farther into our journey. But I think the most important thing to remember is when you're deciding how much to spend is that it is not an investment, and that you don't want too much of your net worth tied up in it. obviously you could turn around and sell it, but it's not something that you can, it's not liquid assets. Like, it's not the same as money in your savings account. Okay. So take that in consideration and take into consideration how long it will take you to save up for it. All right. So another question I get a lot is there something beyond saving on the interest? You know, if you get a loan for your car and you're paying that interest, a lot of people think that the only benefit to paying cash for vehicles is that you save that, you know, few hundred or a couple thousand dollars on the interest that you would have spent on a loan. So I think it does have to do a little bit with that. But there, I think that there is so much more to figure in than just the interest. And, you know, yeah, if you are financing a vehicle, you might spend $2,000 or $3,000 on the interest. But I think that, first of all, that is still enough money that I think of it as, if there was $2,000 laying on the sidewalk, would you bend down and pick it up? Yes. So that's worth your effort. I would bend down and pick up a penny. but I think that saving $2,000 or $3,000 isn't something to just say, oh, it's not that much money, first of all. But also, you have to start thinking of things in the terms of spending money on interest or earning money on interest, right? So how much money could that have made you if that $2,000 or $3,000 would have been put into even a savings account, let alone a IRA or your 401k or, you know, your mutual funds or something that would give you even a better return. But even in your regular savings account, our Ally savings account right now is at 2.2% return. That's a pretty good interest rate, right? That's crazy. So I think that you also have to consider the fact that not only are you saving the money on the interest, but that that money could have all along, not just the interest, but also your monthly payments, you could have been saving that, stashing that in a savings account and getting at least 2% of a return on a savings account. Now, I didn't do the math for you guys because I don't know why I forgot to, but you could do the math on that real quick. And that's enough money to, I think, make it worth your while. And secondly, most importantly, you guys, it is not as much about saving the money on the interest or saving that monthly money. It's not all numbers. And you guys have heard me say this time and time again, budgeting and financial freedom is about so much more than just the numbers. It's about so much more than just the interest saved or who you paid the payment to or how much you paid total, whatever it is, how much it affects your net worth. It is more about the freedom than anything. Okay. When we pay cash for our vehicles, they are 100% ours. They're 100% ours. We don't share them with the bank. We don't have our parents as a co-signer or our siblings as a co-signer. You know, we didn't beg someone for that loan. You know how empowering that is? I've been on both sides. I've had parents co-sign loans. I've sat in offices and begged for car loans. I've not personally, but I've watched people have vehicles repossessed. And it's terrible. Like, it is so, it just takes all of your power, you know, and you're at their mercy. And when you pay cash for the vehicle, there's no wondering, did I pay the payment? Or is it going to get repossessed? Or is it going to get totaled in an accident? And is my insurance enough to pay off the loan if it does get totaled? And, you know, am I upside down on it? Could I flip it and resell it if I really needed to? Or, you know, it's not feeling that burden on your chest every single month of, oh my gosh, we got to make the payment. Oh my gosh, we got to make the payment, right? You don't have to worry about that anymore. You own it. And at this point, you know, it's obviously not an investment. It is still a toy, but it becomes an asset instead of a liability. You don't owe anybody money on it. You can turn around and sell it if you really want to. You have the title. And Daniel and I have this joke. I guess it's kind of not a joke, but we have this saying that it's not yours until the title is in your hand. And every time we get the title in the mail, when we buy something new, and we've bought 4 things now in cash, and it's crazy to me that we are this far into our journey, but every time it's like magical when that title comes in the mail, and I'll like hold it in my hand for a minute and just look at it and be like, this is ours. The title is in my hand. I am at no one's mercy. The power is in my hands, right? We did this. No one co-signed. We didn't beg anyone for financing. We didn't pay anybody interest. In fact, the bank paid us interest because we had this money in savings the entire time. Right? It's crazy. So there's so much more to it than just the money. And the way you do it is you save, you get your spending down, you get your bills down, you get debt free, and you send all of your extra money to savings. It's that simple. It's that simple. Regular people do this. We do this. You know, we're a young family. We have 3 kids and we are 1 income family. And we live below our means. We live on about 55-60% of our income. Our goal is to push that closer and closer to 50%. And that's what we do. We live below our means. It's that simple, and we save it, you guys. And you guys, I would love to help you get your budget set up. If you're like, oh my gosh, how do I ever get to this point? That seems crazy. Remember that we started off in $490,000 worth of debt. We started off with 0 savings. You know, we started at rock bottom, below rock bottom, probably. And then if we can do it, you can do it. Okay. We're no different. We're just a normal family. And if you want help getting your budget set up, you guys, I am going to link in the show notes to my full budgeting course, Your Sunny Money Method. And it's really simple, 30 lessons. You can take it at your own pace. It is video, audio lessons. And I walk through it all with you. I pop up slides. I show you examples. You can see me typing into the worksheets. You also get all my worksheets. You get a bunch of bonuses. And it is really just, it is exactly what I would tell you if we were sitting at your kitchen table drinking coffee with all of our budget worksheets spread out on the table. And we were just kind of having a good conversation about how to get started, where to get started, and in the order that I would recommend doing everything in. And that's how I designed the course, because obviously it's unrealistic for me to be able to go to every single person's house and sit down and have coffee with you. I would love to do that. But this is my solution to that. So if you're interested in that and you want to know what we did, how we did it, the order that we did things in, the way we organize our bank accounts, what worksheets I use, all of the things, you'll find that in my course, okay? And I'm going to link below to it. You can check it out. I would love to have you and help you get started on your journey, okay? So I hope that this episode was helpful. I hope that I answered all of your guys' questions. I tried my best to answer the questions that I get asked the most. But again, find the post that goes with this episode, or just shoot me a DM or an email, and let me know if there's something that I didn't answer, and I'll be glad to answer it the best I can. Remember to share this episode. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet so you don't ever miss an episode. And leave me a review. Let me know what you guys think of the podcast. That also helps other people find the podcast when you guys share and when you guys leave reviews. And that's about it for me this week, you guys. I will be back next week to share another great episode with you guys. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.